Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Prime Time on 1080 The Fan. The basketball party begins.
2 seconds, one. The Cavaliers are champions of the 2018 ACC Tournament.
This is a tournament week edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by George McCoy, attorney with Warren Allen Attorneys at Law. Been injured in an accident? George McCoy can help you get the compensation you deserve. Go to warrenallen.com.
Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
What is up?
Ahoy.
Good Monday. It's Isaac and Suk.
It is a beautiful Monday, and, you know, soak it in because it's going to be your last one for a while.
It is?
Yeah, what? It's supposed to be crappy the rest of the week.
Oh, well, that's okay.
I took to the weather app today.
Hey.
Yeah.
So look at you evolving.
I normally don't go to the weather app.
You can check. Yeah, you can check the weather on the app, and it tells you what it's supposed to be.
So today we get like 68 and sunny, and then the rest of the week we get rain and clouds.
Hey, you know what though? I mean, okay, it's March.
Yeah, you take it.
It's like, look at this last weekend.
Oh, weekend was perfect.
Kidding me?
It couldn't have been any better. Got outside, did some yard work.
Kidding me? How did you beat the heat?
Somehow I managed. It was nice though. Like I turned off the, you know, all the heat in the house, opened up all the doors and windows. Mm. Something about that clean kind of, you know, spring air kind of coming in.
Yeah, the spring air gives you stuffed nostrils and makes you sneeze.
Had the first wiffle ball game of the year this weekend.
Excellent. Did you go yard?
No, I didn't. I pitched to the kids.
How do you not go yard and wiffle ball? Oh, you didn't get the hit?
Well, and I do. I hit left-handed to kind of try to balance everything out. Oh. And I don't really swing. Look, I'm playing with children, Rob.
Don't take it easy on the kids. All right? I think you got to go all Adam Sandler on them. It teaches them lessons.
No, I'm all right. We go left-handed and we try to hit singles. You don't really swing for the fences. I leave that to the kiddos.
Singles.
Yeah.
Wiffle ball is all about home runs, dude. It's home run or nothing.
Don't feel the need to dominate the 12-year-old that come wiffle ball season.
Oh, 12?
Yeah, put her down, huh?
It's, yeah.
The 12-year-old girl?
I always think she's younger.
Nah, she turns 13 this year.
Hey, you're close. You're close to 3 kids in college.
Oh, yeah.
Two kids in college.
The countdown clock. Well, my boy, he's only got 2 years left, and then it's me and the one little one.
Yeah, but you got to get her off to school too.
That's true.
So you've got a ways.
But the key is once the two are out of the house, then just move to like an apartment so they can't move back in.
Oh, that's the guy.
I got a downsize.
Right. Such a good dad.
Either that or like open up like a karate studio, like a dojo in like their room so that they can't move back in.
Okay.
Because you know, you got those boomerang kids. Like just because they leave doesn't mean they come back. You'll get this with meat.
Oh, I know.
Meat's going to leave, but trust me, he'll come back.
Now I'm trying to think if I lived, I never did. Go back and live with my
You never
folks.
Went back?
No, mainly because they were in a town that I didn't want to live in.
Well, that's true.
You know, had they lived somewhere like
if they were in San Diego, you would have come back.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was reading something about that just the other day about the boomerang kid and how unhealthy that is.
Well, and like my
No, it's not unhealthy. It's not bad for the kid. You know, it just kind of is what it is.
Yeah.
But I was reading a study that they were talking about how bad it is for the for the parents.
For the parents?
Yeah, cuz like you get used to that. You know, that empty nester lifestyle.
Yeah.
And the kid coming back really cramps your style.
Well, I've told the oldest is getting ready to graduate college this year, and I told her that the Sukanic Scholarship Fund is about to run out. She's not happy about that. You know, you reach that point where it's like,
Well, wait, you've got two more. What are you saying?
Well, for her.
Oh, she's almost out of money.
Yeah, for her, the Sukanic Scholarship, which has been going on for 21 years, that's about to expire. Like, those tax breaks are about to go away, and she's none too happy about it.
Well, how old is she?
She'll turn 21 this year.
Yeah. Well, we don't need to get into tax minutia. You want to talk tax code here? Hot tax code on Monday? It was a wonderful weekend.
Yeah.
And so if it rains this week, whatever. It's fine.
Yeah, you can deal with it.
I don't care.
I had a lovely, lovely weekend outside.
Good.
Even went and saw The Sound of Music. The hills were
outside?
Alive with the sound of rap. No, that was inside, but it was still nice walking to and from the theater.
That is exciting.
I'll tell you what.
Walking to and from the theater.
I am a fan of the theater, and Sound of Music has always been kind of like, take it or leave it. Wonderful. Blew me away. Thoroughly enjoyed The Sound of Music. Highlight of my weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, I was humming the tune the whole way. Although, once again, I still was singing to myself, The Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Rop.
So that's the song that you go to?
Yeah.
From Sound of Music?
Yeah, from Sound of Music.
Mine's more.
The Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Rock.
I go with, like, I am 16 going on 7. You know, that
yeah,
one.
There's that one.
What's the main one, though? Isn't the.
Well, I mean, I would.
The one at the end.
I would think that the. Well, he sings farewell to the. What is it? Yeah, the Arvita Zane or whatever it is. Goodbye, farewell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that one.
I would think that the main one, though, is the actual Sound of Music. I mean, that's kind of the...
The Hills Are Alive. She
yeah,
sings
The Hills
that.
Are Alive.
She sings that as she's floating
yeah,
through
she's,
the...
Yeah, she's spinning, and yeah. You know, they play it multiple times
so whimsical.
It. Yeah, it is. And the great Julie Andrews.
And then there's one other song that's catchy that the Chimney Sweep sings.
Well, the... Well, I was going to say maybe The Favorite Things. You know, that's kind of a
These
big one.
These are a few of my favorite things.
It was kind of like when you go see like a band like Heart or Def Leppard, you don't really know what to expect. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I know 10 of these songs. The Sound of Music was like that for me.
Edelweiss is from Sound of Music.
Edelweiss?
Yeah.
Which one's that?
Edelweiss.
Boy,
you look happy to see me. Now, did you watch... Okay, now I'm going to screw up the name. It's on Amazon, and it's about if the U.S. lost the war. Oh, my God.
Is that about the Man in the High Castle?
Man in the High Castle. Did you ever watch that show?
I saw pieces of it, but...
Because that's the lead in. That song is the intro to that.
I had a hard time getting into that, but I did see an episode or two of it.
How about this? Look at this. Hot Sound of music tunes.
Yeah.
Coming in from the listeners, a female deer.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's
the
one
that I know. But that's for Sound of
what
Music.
A great soundtrack.
This is kind of my point. So I went into the Sound of Music, just being like, all right, whatever, Sound of Music. And
come
like
on,
midway
man.
Through it, I'm like, oh my God, this is great.
They play this too?
Yeah, you forget about all the great music. And it was simply wonderful. It was delightful listening to the Sound of Music.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. Highly recommend it.
All right. Well, we've got a lot to discuss today because the brackets are out.
Yes.
So it's like blindfolding yourself and
pencil Kansas through the number one seed.
Do not. You know, I was telling somebody today.
You're going to so poo-poo all over this. Think of it. This is how spoiled and just bitchy Kansas basketball fan is.
Oh, they are not.
You
it's
are
just,
too.
It's just me, not
they're,
them.
They're the number. They're a number
Don't
one
seed. Don't lump them
seed.
In with me.
They're a number one seed, and yet you're going to sit here today and bitch and moan about Kansas, about how they're not any good. They're a number one gall
He's
darn seed.
He's not wrong, though.
I'm not wrong. You
Have
don't know
you watched Kansas?
About. Oh, and... By
so
the way,
iffy.
This is how you were when the Mets were in the World Series.
And yet they're a number one seed.
Syracuse,
Mike's just Mets. Happy that Syracuse is in the damn tournament.
I'll say this
Thank
about
you,
Kansas.
FBI teams. Woo!
Yeah, Syracuse was the last team in.
Yeah.
Of the field. In the whole field.
And you can't tell me that like the FBI investigation didn't have something to do with USC and like Louisville not making it.
What was I going to tell you? Oh, here's what I'll tell you. And by the way, I am not your average Kansas fan. Kansas fans are great. I'm just, you know, I'm just old and... You know, I compare them to past teams, right? Like, that's not fair to do.
Yeah.
When you look at them and you go, God, this team sucks. I hate watching them. They do. But I'm comparing them to the past great Kansas teams. Compared to everybody else in college basketball, they're just as good as anybody, right? It's just it's an indictment on college basketball
that
this team is a number one seed. I am telling you, trust me, I've seen most of their games. It's unbelievable that they're a one seed. And you know, it says a lot about Bill Self. He's a hell of a coach.
Yes.
This is not a vintage Kansas one seed
team. All I'm saying is you come off as beyond insufferable as Kansas basketball fan.
So
that you are bitching about Kansas being a number one seed.
So I'm not bitching about that. I think it's great. They're just not that good. So here is what I'll tell you. That it is 50-50. They could go all the way.
Mm-hmm.
They could get hot. You know, good coach. Yeah, somebody else like Duke gets knocked off or something.
Their big guy, who is it? Is it
Ozabuki?
Ozabuki, is he healthy?
Not really, but he's going to be back.
Because there's a sense that if he plays, that's a different team. If he's out,
Well, they're horrible
out.
Without him.
Yeah.
Even though they won the Big 12 title.
Without him.
Without him. With the Big 12 conference tournament title. Yeah. But They could easily.
And the regular season title as well.
Yeah, but he played.
Yeah.
He was only out for the tournament. So he has a knee injury. He's banged up, but they say he'll probably be out there. They could easily win it. Easily. They could win it. However, they could also lose in the first round as the first number one seed to ever lose. I'm telling you, it's 50-50. If you said, put your money, they're either going to win it or they're going to lose in the first round.
You flipping a coin?
I don't know which one I'd take.
Who do they have in the first round?
Penn. And Penn, you may remember, well, Penn is a they're a staple in the tournament. Really good Ivy League program. I believe, I want to say Fran Dunphy maybe coached there at one point. I don't know.
I know very little about Penn.
They're a good program. Ken Palm, I think that guy's name.
Yeah.
He's like, he does all the analytics and stuff. He says that they're one of the best 16 seeds that the tournament has seen in years. And you tell me Kansas fan isn't clutched a little bit about that?
If there's one team that will lose as the number one seed, will be the first to ever happen, it would be fitting if it was Kansas.
Well, it should be Kansas, yeah. Right? Like, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
There's only one team that can do that.
Where's Belmont and Bucknell when we need them?
So yeah. But the brackets are out. The Zers are playing well.
Well, they're beyond playing well. The hottest team in the gall darn NBA. And another, what, Miami's without three of their best players rolling in here tonight. So the chalk up another W. And then we got NFL madness going on as well.
And Tiger Woods, y'all.
Boy, you're not kidding.
And OJ news.
Oh, did you watch the special?
Absolutely.
It was
worth a watch.
That was the most chilling thing I've seen in a long, long time. His indifference to all that. Did you ever see the HBO special when they did the, was it called The Iceman Cometh, where they interviewed the mob hitman?
Yeah,
prison. It was a very similar feel that you got from OJ as when you were sitting there watching like a guy that's got 30 confirmed kills for the mob. Same sort of he's a sociopath. It was terrifying.
Yeah, well, we knew that about OJ, but we didn't really know what this was going to be like, this If I Did It interview.
Yeah.
It was everything that they thought it would be.
It was haunting.
It's worth the watch.
Yeah. And I hate to say that because it's...
I know.
But the only thing that honestly saved me from thinking that I was kind of sleaze watching this is the fact that the Goldman family, Christopher Darden, they all wanted this to air because they knew how bad he was going to look in it, and they wanted people to get a look at just what an absolute sick son of a you-know-what O.J. Simpson was. And if you had any doubt at all, and there were some people that are especially the younger ones, probably don't fully realize what had happened, and it had kind of become like a little bit of a pop culture moment. That brought it back to just exactly what this was. And it wasn't just a murder, that he was a serial abuser, that he was a sociopath. And I think that, to me, and the fact that the prosecutors and the families wanted this aired, that made me, it put me at ease that I was watching something that really was stomach churning.
All right, we'll talk about that today. Let's start with Blazer Mania. Blazers are just... They are unhinging their jaw and swallowing the rest of the NBA whole. They cannot be stopped. It feels like they're playing great and the rest of the NBA is in the toilet. Doesn't it feel like that?
A little bit.
It feels like nobody else is doing anything except for them.
Well, in Houston.
Yeah, but they lost the other night.
They
and
did
Harden,
lose the other
Harden
night.
Didn't play, yeah. And it's like everybody sucks except for one team. There is only one team left standing in the NBA.
If you would have told me this 2 months ago, I would have laughed in your face.
It is 3:13 on the Fan.
This is a Tournament Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by Warren Allen Attorneys at Law.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's 3:18 on The Fan Sports Talk. You're on Sports Talk. If you are like, hey, what station is this? That's what it is. It's called The Fan.
Yeah.
We do sports here.
Well, and we do The Sound of Music and Rob Sings, and it's a whole thing. We're so much more than sports.
I think you'll like it. Just leave it. Actually, rip your radio dial right off.
It's an acquired taste. Does anyone have a radio dial anymore? It's all digital, man.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you still have a little knob on your car, right?
I do, because I drive an old car, but my car's from 1977.
Which has an old pickup, like an International Scout.
Well, look, my let's see, what is that truck? An 08? I drive an 08.
Mm.
It's a 10-year-old car. I mean, it's starting to, I get out in the morning, I look at it, I'm like, you know, this is really not cool.
Well, the last time, because we usually don't drive together, but every now and then, like we'll go somewhere and
I'm in a carpool.
And when I opened up the car door and I see the ripped upholstery, that's yeah, the sign
I got that
of
fixed.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Did you get like a sheepskin cover on that, or maybe one of those old Navajo blankets?
No, my wife went out there and sewed it up.
Just stitched it up for you?
Yeah.
That's nice.
That truck's great, but yeah, it's old and it's I don't know.
But it's paid off, right?
It is paid
off. You're gonna drive that thing.
That's right.
Here's something I'll tell you about Rob.
There's nothing worse than car payments.
Rob is the least cheap person you'll ever go out with. Like, Rob is not cheap at all. He'll pick up the tab, he tips well, all that. But there are some things that he refuses to pay for. You will drive that truck until it just catches on fire.
I will.
There's no way you are going to spend money on a new car.
It gets me from point A to point B, man.
You're just not a car guy.
And I can put my my clubs in the back.
You'll have that.
Haul debris to the dump.
You'll be that old guy that's like, what? Oh, yeah. This car is fine.
I am. And not only that, but I take care of my cars, right? Like,
they stitched up the
let
seat.
Let them last. Yeah. Or you want them to last, right?
Do you have a tape player in it? Tell me that you do, please.
Tape?
Yeah, tape. You got a tape deck?
I don't think so.
It's from 08. There's no way.
Yeah, there's a CD player. Mm. You know, my wife's car has a tape deck in it.
What?
Uh-huh. Hers is an 07. And Meat, you don't even ask me what year his car is.
Yeah. I always like when you get in a car and you see the old tape deck. Like, badass. Just going to roll with that one, are we?
I'm kind of with Rob, though. It's, you know, the car is a car, right?
Right.
You don't need to spend exorbitant amounts of money on it over and over again. It's a car.
That's right. You don't need to be flashy.
Driving that old pickup truck.
That's right.
The old country song.
So the Trailblazers.
Red hot and rolling.
They won again.
I know.
On Friday. They beat the Warriors, and they beat them soundly.
Yeah, they pulled away down the stretch. It was back and forth, and I get Golden State.
Good ball game.
Golden State was on the second half of a back-to-back and didn't have Steph Curry, didn't have Iguodala. But it's not like Golden State showed up and didn't care. You took their best punch and you executed down the stretch late. That's a huge win. And you can only play, you know, who's out there. And it does seem like Portland has benefited more than any team in recent memory that I can recall from not having to play against full strength teams. But I don't know. To me, that doesn't take away from what they're doing. They are playing some of the best basketball in the NBA right now.
If not the best. I mean, Utah's hot.
The Raptors might have an argument.
Yeah, the Raptors might have an argument.
Yeah, they just beat Houston.
What should we make of them?
Well,
are they?
I haven't seen a bunch, obviously, of Toronto Raptors basketball.
They could be in the finals, man.
But you read through what some people that do follow the NBA, and people are raving about how good Toronto is, and that they're kind of the forgotten team out east. Everyone keeps talking about Boston, or you know, if Cleveland can get it together. But you listen to people that watch the NBA on a regular basis, and they are just singing the praises of the Raptors.
But the last few years, the Raptors have been amazing in the regular season and completely flame out in the playoffs.
Yeah, but people are saying this looks different than those Toronto teams. But
so what were the odds on Toronto-Houston finals at the start of the year?
Well, it's Toronto and Portland. What are you talking about?
Or Toronto-Portland, right.
I do think there are some Blazer fans. I think most people have a realistic view of where this ends, but I do think there's a lot of Blazer fans that are starting to believe that are getting the why not us theory that's going on out there.
You buying that?
No, I'm not buying it, but it sure is fun to watch because I do think there is something to the fact that you have been very fortunate to play teams on back-to-backs and you're getting teams that aren't at full strength. I absolutely think that's a real thing, and I still believe that Golden State at full strength is no one's going to beat them in seven games. And I still think that Houston stands in your way. So I think it ends in the second round with one of those two teams. But
you already got them out of the first round, huh?
Well, I mean, they play this way. I mean, I guess you can't pencil them through. I guess you said, why not? And I think that's why not. They're capable of winning a first-round series. They're capable of losing a first-round series. The West is so close right now. You know, one injury to Portland, that's the other thing. Portland has been so healthy. If Portland has one of these injuries that snake bites them, or San Antonio gets healthy, or, you know, who knows? You know, Minnesota gets healthy with Jimmy Butler coming back. They're capable of beating Portland in a seven-game series. But certainly Portland can get through to the second round. But you asked me why not. I think it ends there with a healthy and motivated Houston or Golden State team. But that doesn't change the fact that this is, to me, this is the most entertaining Portland has been in years. We've been doing this show for 12 years together. This is as fun a team and as easy a team to root for and get behind as I think we've had in the 12 years we've been doing this.
I thought Friday there was a moment where the Warriors came out in the second half and blitzed them a little bit and then got up. I don't remember what the score was. I think it was 73-67.
Something along that. They had
maybe
a couple.
It was 83-77. I think it was 83-77, and you're just kind of going, oh, here we go.
Here's the run.
Here we go. And the Blazers, I mean instantly, were up 10.
Yeah.
They got down into that OS moment where it's like, oh, boy, here it comes, and just refused. They were like, nope. And flipped the script on that game in literally 3 minutes. It was unbelievable. And they have that now this year where when they're at home, you just trust them. Like, it doesn't matter what's happening. It doesn't matter how much they're losing by or how bad they're playing.
And Golden State kind of fell apart. You know, fouling people on garbage three-pointers.
You see Klay Thompson airball the worst three he's probably ever taken in his career.
It was bizarre to sit there and watch Golden State fold like a pair of twos down the stretch. And Portland just making plays down the stretch.
How do we feel about Klay Thompson?
Well, I think Klay Thompson is really, really good.
Clearly, he is much better when Steph Curry is there next to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He drives me crazy if I'm a Warrior fan because he chucks up some really crappy. You know, it's one thing when Steph Curry chucks up bad shots. It's another to me when Klay Thompson does it.
Yeah.
Like, he can shoot them. Well, actually, it's one thing when Steph Curry and Kevin Durant do it, because Durant, every time Durant shot, what did you think? Oh, crap.
Yeah.
And he made it. I mean, what did he score Friday?
Do you have 40 again?
It was 40-something, yeah.
Dude, the guy is just...
I went to the game on Friday. He's something else to watch in person, but he's been having some of these performances. And
well, he can shoot from anywhere. I'm saying is he can shoot from anywhere. Steph Curry can shoot from anywhere. Klay Thompson's a really good player, really good shooter. But man, if I'm a Warrior fan, he drives me nuts with some of the crap he chucks up.
Yeah.
He takes some really bad shots.
Well, Golden State, I think in general, can fall into this at times and this kind of, I don't know, lazy basketball. And clearly they're not the same team without Steph Curry. It's funny that we have to say that. Steph Curry is one of the three or four best players in the NBA, and people act like if he's not in there, that somehow that shouldn't affect Golden State. Good Lord. I mean, when Steph Curry's in there and Iguodala and they're at full strength, that's a different team, and they were kind of playing that way. But Golden State lost back-to-back games, right, because they lost to they lost to Minnesota, right after Portland. So they lost two in a row. And all season long, I think Golden State has kind of had this weird kind of laziness thing about them where it's just not quite clicking. But there is a belief, and I think they've earned it, that they can get into the playoffs and they'll flip a switch and they'll be fine. But
didn't we already say they flipped the switch? Like, didn't we come out of the All-Star break and go, oh, see, the Warriors?
Well, and they had won, what, like 9 or whatever it was, 9 of 10 or 10 of 11, something like that. But now without Curry, they lose they have to come back against San Antonio. They lose to Portland. They lose to Minnesota. But again, I think we're underestimating the fact that when you lose the third or fourth best player in the NBA, it is going to have a huge impact on you. But to me, that doesn't take away the fact that Portland outplayed Golden State in both of those two games. And I get it that Golden State, that's not a playoff series, but you went head to head with Golden State the last two times and Portland outplayed them in both of them. You can't ignore that. I mean,
ignoring it? Well, like, they're the talk of the NBA right now.
It's amazing to watch what Portland's doing, and I never thought you could say it about this team, especially, again, we go back a month or two. This is amazing to watch, and it's really, really fun.
I'm with Rob, though, where I think it was 78-75, Warriors took a lead.
They were up six. I'm pretty sure it was 83-77.
Okay, but in that range. I remember having the same thought, like, well, here we go. The Warriors, and then... You're right. They just flipped that switch again. And that's why I asked in Stockwatch last week, I asked, do you think this is a fluke or do you think they found another gear?
No.
And I feel like this is another gear again.
It's neither. I don't think it's either. I think it's not a fluke. It's definitely not a fluke. No. Just watch how they're playing. They're playing well. It's also not another gear. It's just the season is long. Look at the ebbs and flows of every single team.
Yeah.
Talk to me about talk to a Spurs fan about how they're feeling right now when they were cooking earlier in the year, right? Cleveland had it together, but now they don't again. Toronto, Houston, everybody goes through this. It's just that the Blazers, they sort of have kind of become a second half team. Like if you look here over the last couple of, well, they did it last year. Yep. And I think the year before they did it too.
They go on these
Since
runs.
Aldridge left, they are more of a post All-Star break team. They're just now, I think, maximizing what they are. And I still think, though, if you look at the West, so they've got a 2-game lead over New Orleans, Minnesota, and Oklahoma City. So they are right now holding steady at 3, mm-hmm. the 3 seed. I just don't think there's an easy series no matter who they play.
No.
You got to give them credit for inserting themselves into the conversation in the West, right? Like we didn't think, we thought, one and done. Here we go again. You know, they're a 6, 7, or 8 seed. Well, you got to give them and Terry Stotts all the credit. Lillard, Stotts, and the bench. Zach Collins is stepping up. All the credit in the world for jumping up there and saying, hey, we're a player here too. But I just don't think there's much of anything that separates any of these teams.
No.
And so when you get into a 7-game series, I don't know if they're gonna win in the first round because I think it's going to be close no matter who they play. And that includes if they fell and played Houston or Golden State.
Yeah.
I don't know that they would beat them, but I think they can give them a run for their money in a 7-game series. So they're not going to blow out Minnesota in a 7-game series if Butler comes back. Are they going to blow out the Spurs? You want the Spurs?
No. Well, I mean, if
Kawhi Leonard's this, coming back
this
week. Yeah,
this version of San Antonio, no. Or
you don't
yes,
want him.
But healthy San Antonio?
So there's no easy. It's well, just no easy
And as
series.
You pointed out, right, they got that 2-game lead. But, you know, Miami should be a win. Miami's without the 3 big guys. But then you get Cleveland, Detroit, the Clips, the Rockets, the Celtics. I mean, you go through a 2-3-game slide there, and that's reasonable for any team can go through a slide. You can find yourself from the 3 seed down to the 8 seed real, real quick. That's what a meat grinder the West is, and I'm with you that I don't know what separates. Honestly, not just you know, 3 from 8, but really 3 from 10. You look at Utah. Utah is going to be a tough out for somebody. I do think they're going to get into the playoffs. There just isn't a whole lot separating it. It's a play here or there. But give Portland credit because they are making that play here or there down the stretch that are pulling out these wins.
All right, so what did the guy say to get ejected? What did he say to Kevin Durant? We'll get to that. And Evan Turner is saying, kiss my ass. How about that?
Yeah, take my the whole contract thing. It's
yeah, he's saying, ain't nobody got he's literally saying, kiss my ass. Yeah,
I earned my money. Go to hell.
So we'll get to his quotes if you haven't heard what he said. Coming up next, here's Mike.
With Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by Warren Allen Attorneys at Law.
On 1080 The Fan.
Join us again for the best basketball tournament party on the best 2 days of the tournament. You may know what I'm referring to.
I do know what you're referring to. There is a college basketball tournament coming up.
Coming up.
We can't say what it is, but
there's a couple of them.
Yeah. Well, there's only one that anyone cares about.
Is the CBI still going on?
Yeah, I think the CBI, and there's the CIT as well.
Oh, so there's 4.
Yeah, I think there's 4 of them. But the NIT has, I think, 5 Pac-12 teams in it. It's like the Pac-12 tournament all over again.
Well, that's the real tournament. I mean, you know.
Well, that's the one BYU plays in every year, so clearly I'm all fired up about that.
Fan Madness happens this Thursday starting at 9 a.m. at the Station Public House at 27th and Northeast Alberta, and Friday beginning at 9 a.m. at the Independent Sports Bar and Grill at 225 Southwest Broadway. The Fan will be there with live shows. We will have what appears to be, in quotation marks, fabulous prizes. Fan Madness is brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling, O'Reilly Auto Parts, and the Nike Hoop Summit. For more info, go to 1080thefan.com. Suk and I will be out both of those days. So Thursday's show is at the Station, and Friday's show is at the Independent.
Now bring your NIT bracket as well, and you know, we can have some fun with that.
We should fill out the NIT bracket.
Because that's the one that everyone wants.
Yeah, wouldn't we do a better job of that than the NCAA tournament bracket? I tell you what, man. Well, we'll get to bracket talk later. Let's finish off on the Zers here, the Blazers. Okay, so they're playing really, really well, and I don't know. I don't understand why people have to make it either more than it is or less than it is.
Just enjoy it.
It just is. Yeah. They're good. But this doesn't mean a lick when it comes to the playoffs, or it could mean everything. It's really tight in the West, but it's fun to see the Blazers actually playing well again. And you know what the other thing too is, and I noticed this a lot recently, but mainly against Golden State. You know, Golden State was playing good defense. Now I know they were without key guys. Andre Iguodala is one of their better defenders, but Golden State still was getting after it on defense. And I thought, man, the Trailblazers took such good shots. Like, even though it was really good half-court defense, I thought, by Golden State, at least good half-court defensive effort, the Blazers really found ways to still get good looks. And I think that's a big difference between them now and earlier in the year, when I think those guards were just, you know,
it was kind of
chucking stuff up.
Well, it was the hero ball sort of thing.
Right. And they didn't take good shots. They didn't find, they didn't look for better looks. And now they are. And that just, it just makes such a big difference.
Well, and you're getting production too. When you look at the bench, right? I think what, four guys off your bench were double digits. Ed Davis, who has been a revelation here down this stretch. Ed Davis.
Well, we've seen him play like this before, though.
Yeah, and last year they didn't have him, right? Davis was out with the shoulder. But Ed Davis, what, Turner had a nice game. I think Turner had 10 or 12. And then here he is again, the damn Zach Collins.
The damn Zach Collins.
the young fella.
He's coming along.
Is coming along. And then, of course, the guy that has been a nice addition that no one, the biggest surprise is Shabazzle.
Shabazzle Dazzle.
Yeah, like, so when you're getting four guys that are getting double-digit production off your bench, and I don't think, and I know Golden State was shorthanded, but I don't think Golden State had one. I don't think they had one guy that was in double digits off their bench, and Portland had four. So for all the talk, obviously, and Lillard and CJ and Nurk is found himself a nice little groove here. Honestly, one of the biggest difference in these games has been that the Blazers bench and a lot of the young guys are becoming reliable and are being real difference makers. You know, without the bench here, Portland has not won nine in a row. There's three or four losses in here if Davis and Napier and Collins are not playing this way.
Yeah, it's crazy how things, you know, kind of evolve and grow and change. And it's just so unpredictable. Like, you just, the three guys you just mentioned, well, actually, you mentioned Evan Turner, and he did have a nice game, but he has not been.
No, he is.
A key.
No.
Like, look, he we're going to go through what he had to say. And a lot of what he had to say, I agree with. And I get why he was pissed off and is pissed off at people coming down on him. But look, when you get paid that kind of money, yes, you earned it, but you also have to keep earning it.
It's the Nick Batum theory.
And if you don't, you know,
yeah, people voice it.
People will voice their displeasure, and they are. And I think he's got to have thicker skin to be able to handle it. But you mentioned Evan Turner, and he had a nice game in that game. But if you look at the other guys you said, so you've got Nurkic, who's still only making $3 million, yeah. Right? Ed Davis is at $6 million. Great contract, although they're going to have to decide what they want to do with him this offseason, though, yeah. In conjunction with Nurkic, which is interesting. And then Zach Collins, who's on his rookie deal, he only makes $3 million. And Shabazz is $2.3. You look in between Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum's contracts, and then those guys I just mentioned's contracts, those are your main players. And then Al-Farouq Aminu is a staple. He's at $7 million, right? There are three contracts in there that total $41 million that you're just not getting much of anything out of.
No.
It's crazy how this thing has shifted. So that's Evan Turner at 18.5, Maurice Harkless at 11.5, and Myers Leonard at 11.3.
And for the longest time, it felt like that was like an albatross around your neck. But with the play of, and not that Turner's been terrible, at least you do get some stuff out of him from time to time. And but the addition of the play of those three other guys that are such bargains, it really has kind of erased some of those bad contracts. You're not feeling it because you're getting that production from somewhere. You're just getting it from guys that aren't getting paid.
Yeah, except that you just wish if they had spent that money better,
yeah.
What would that mean? Like, yeah. How much better would they be? But, yeah. You know, whatever. It is what it is at this point. They're going to have some interesting decisions in the offseason. Kevin Durant got a fan kicked out, a courtside douche.
Okay, you gone.
Who got kicked out the other night. Here was Kevin Durant on that after the game.
I don't know. It just happened. You know, sometimes just shut up and watch the game, man. You know, you had nothing to do with what's going on the floor. You're not important. You know, you're just a fan at the game. Watch the game and enjoy it, man. You want to get involved. These guys want to get involved, and you're sitting on the court side. Just enjoy the game, man. So glad the ref got his ass.
So do we know what that guy said?
I don't know.
I've been seeing that he was just saying F you, is a real original guy.
They had a camera at the game that kind of had like half of his face in it. And it looked like, you know, just the run of the mill, like you, POS, da 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 da.
But it looked like they, and maybe I'm wrong because I was at the game, so I've only seen, you know, clips of it. It looked like they tossed him before Durant really, like some people are saying, no, this was, who was the golfer? Is that? Justin Thomas got the guy thrown out.
Yeah.
Some people are saying that. It looked like the ref did it on his own, that like Durant wasn't really involved. It's not like Durant, am I wrong in that? Didn't look like Durant pointed the guy out or anything.
I mean, Durant was jawing at him.
Durant pointed at him like, hey man, you know, do something about this guy.
Yeah.
And then that one guy, the security guy came over and did nothing. And then the other security guy came over and was like, get up. Let's go. Get out of here.
So Durant did point the guy out.
Yeah.
He pointed at him.
He was pointing at him. He was walking up right to him and yelling back at him. And then when the guy left, the woman with him kept kind of jawing at Durant a little bit too.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
What a donkey. Look, you say that's courtside. It's not everybody, but God, those courtside people, some of them are just so douchey.
But at the same time, I agree.
Durant's right. Just sit and watch a game. Shut up.
I do agree with that. But at the same time, I am amazed at how thin-skinned some guys can be.
Yeah, you should let it go. But still, like, you know, when that guy's good. Screw that guy. We just had a guy who texted in and said that's the second time that guy's gotten kicked out for being a douchebag.
Yeah, this is kind of his MO.
Kick his ass out. Hell, the GM got kicked out for flipping the bird. The GM of the team. He sits courtside. He can't control himself.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's not hard to control yourself, right?
No, like, it's not.
Those guys are thin skinned, but that's like victim blaming. You know, it's like, yes, they're thin skinned, but so what? Like, they're right down there by the players. Shut up. God. These fans like this drive me crazy.
Well, the worst part is, too,
they should yank his tickets for the rest of the year.
The worst part is that when you're sitting by one of these guys, because if you say something to him, that's the guy that turns around and just cranks it up even more. And so it really ruins the game when you have to sit by this bro. But really, Kevin, like you're that bothered by someone dropping some F-bombs at you? I mean, for heaven's sakes.
So Blazer Twitter had a nice one of the fan who took off the Kevin Durant, or he actually didn't take it off. He had a Kevin Durant jersey on.
Put the Lillard on over the top.
And he put a Damian Lillard jersey on over the Kevin Durant jersey as the Blazer fans were going crazy towards the end of the game.
That thing swept the interwebs. Like that was.
Well, what is going on there? I need so much questions. What is happening there?
Well, clearly a Kevin Durant fan then got turned into a Damian Lillard fan.
But wait, why?
Because the Golden State lost.
So this is really really people that do this.
Did you notice the female with him was in a Warriors jersey?
Yeah, she had a Curry jersey.
I wonder if he goes to the game with her, wears the Warriors jersey to support her, and the Blazers win, and he goes, "Yeah, I'm going to go back to my roots here and root for the Blazers."
Well, look, if that's the case, then we can. I think we can all sympathize with that because look. If you're trying to score points with a gal and you're trying to get her to, like, you know, do something with you, there's no end to what a guy will do. Think about how many dumb things you've worn or pretended to like or to have gone along with because you thought that's what the girl wanted. So maybe it was. Maybe the guy just came to his senses and was like, no. Or more than likely, he's just a giant bandwagon D-bag.
I love that he had both jerseys. Like, he was prepared for either outcome. I have never seen that.
Maybe he went and bought it at the half.
Yeah. You
know, sometimes
is he more of a, like, where does he live? Is he more of a Warrior fan than a Blazer fan? Is he a Blazer fan, like you said, that was just trying to appease the girl who's from San Francisco? I don't know. I need to talk to this guy.
There's so much questions.
So much.
Can we track him down? Has anyone found him on social media yet?
Surely, like, he's probably famous now.
Yeah, I don't know if that's right? The kind of famous that you want to be, but maybe he's proud of it. I don't know. Maybe he's got a valid reason. But yeah, I figure.
I just don't think there is one.
To go in a Golden State jersey and then leave in a Blazer jersey?
I mean, if I paint that scenario in any other sport, any other scenario, how is that acceptable?
This guy says maybe a bet was lost.
Oh, that could be true.
Yeah. You know, hey, Portland wins. You got to put this on. You got to put on the Lillard jersey right then and there.
Yeah, that's plausible. That's plausible.
Maybe he's afraid of getting assaulted. I've seen people cover up their jersey as they're leaving after a team loses, but that's more of like an NBA college or a college football NFL thing. I've never seen someone, though, go incognito and go put on Blazer jersey to try to blend in with the crowd as they leave.
Unbelievable. All right, so we'll tell you what Evan Turner is saying, which rhymes with "Wiss my bass."
Solid.
Did you get that?
I did get that.
Yeah, he's saying "kiss my ass." We'll tell you why coming up next on The Fan.
This is a Tournament Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by Warren Allen Attorneys at Law.
On 1080 The Fan.
So, $18 million a year. 18.5 million years, what Evan Turner makes, and he's averaging 8.3 rebounds. He plays about 25 minutes per game. Just, you know, inconsistent. A player efficiency rating of 9.5. So Jason Quick did a thing on him, and Turner is tired of your BS.
Well, and Quick does a really good job with these kind of long profile pieces. I think he's one of the best in the business at this.
So I guess there's a fan at the Blazers home games who heckles Turner, and he finally turned around and told him to shut the F up.
Yeah, I guess this has been an ongoing thing with him.
And he called him a dumb redneck.
Well, and this kind of goes back to the whole... And we, by the way, we found the name of the bro who got the heave-ho for the Durant things.
Yeah, but he wasn't a bro, though. He's like an older guy.
Yeah, he's a construction guy.
Yeah.
But someone said that he was a server, or one of the people that gave us his name said that he or she was a server down there, and I guess he's had those seats for years. And
he's a D-bag.
Yeah, he said he's a giant D-bag, said they walk around like it's Beverly Hills, and thinks his daughter thinks she's Kim Kardashian. So right.
These are people who want to insert themselves into everything.
Yes.
And including the game. This is what Kevin Durant is saying. He's saying this game is not about you.
No, there's one thing if you get down there and you get in a heated thing or you talk a little trash, but when it becomes...
Well, fun stuff. There's a lot of people that sit courtside that have fun back and forth with players. That's okay.
But it sounds like this kind of made me think about the Evan Turner thing. The fact that you show up every single game and you just decide that Evan Turner is going to be the whipping boy for you and you're going to take out your wrath on him. Again, that's the part where I agree with Evan Turner that, you know, for heaven's sakes, man, go find something else to do with your time than show up every game and yell at me because you don't think I'm worth the money.
Or he can yell back.
Yeah.
I mean, and he did. He called him a dumb redneck. And he said when he turned around and cursed him out, he turned bright red. The guy turned bright red, and Turner was chuckling about that. But yeah, some people view it as, well, the fans pay good money to get in there, and they can do whatever they want within reason. And then others say, well, just because you pay your money to sit down there doesn't give you the right to be an asshat.
Yeah.
So, there's two sides to it.
I think there's a fine line there because I do see both sides of the equation. You can't just be kicking guys out simply because you don't like what he said. But at the same time, you just because you bought a ticket doesn't give you the right to be a foul mouth S, you know, for 60 minutes.
I just think it depends on, you know, what was said and like what's happening and what you're doing. But Turner is saying, he says, first off, let me say one thing. Everything I have done, I have earned. My contract, that's my bread, and I earned my bread, so kiss my ass. Dead serious, write that. I earned that effing money. Which no question. That's
exactly
right.
That's
true.
He hit the free agent market and Portland, you know, ponied up. No one put a gun to anyone's head and made them sign Evan Turner.
He says, all I'm doing is what my coaches ask. I'm trying to help the team, truly and genuinely help the team, because I've been on teams where I'm putting up 20 and nobody gave a damn because we were losing. Then he goes on to talk about his defense in the game over Golden State. He doesn't get enough credit. Said Maurice Harkless, but we know what he does, and that's all that matters. At the end of the day, winning matters. This is Turner. Character matters, and what you are willing to sacrifice matters. I think my biggest steps in growth are being able to compartmentalize the things that really matter. I used to waste a lot of time worrying about things that don't matter, who gets credit and all that stuff. None of it matters. Then he says, he talks about how I love this. He says, this is basketball. This should be fun. Sports are for kids, and adults mess it up. For me, I was one of those people who overly took it serious to the point where it wasn't fun. So now I just make sure I have fun with it. This is a dream. It's a game. Love that. Love that attitude. I think that's a great attitude, Jason.
Yeah.
And then he says, Ed Davis says a lot of players get judged on their salary. If he was making, let's say, $8 million a year, they would be like, he's the best player in the league, which not true.
No, but he would be viewed. He would be viewed totally differently if he was making $7 or $8 million as opposed to $18 million.
But Ed Davis tells him, I always tell him that's a good problem to have. I'd rather have someone talk stuff to me if I was making $17 million a year than $6 million a year. So that's a good problem. Spoken from the guy who makes $6 million a year, who's playing his ass off, yeah. Ed Davis. I don't mean to be, this is Turner again. I don't mean to be harsh, but I get tired of it being brought up. He's talking about his contract. And it's really not my focus. Who am I supposed to prove it to? Some might be of the opinion that I help the team a lot, but as long as there are radio personalities who are nowhere near the team and there's people who have never played basketball giving their opinion and making up blogs, there will be stuff out there. How about that? You know what? That's a direct shot at you.
My blogs?
No.
My hot Blazer blog?
Who has a blog now?
Blogcast Tough Guy?
Yeah. Get you some, Evan Turner. That's it. Me and Evan Turner are going to fight.
Now, radio
30 styles boxing.
Do you think the radio personality is like dirt? Has Dirt been talking trash on Evan Turner?
I don't know. I honestly don't. I don't know who has been overly negative, or maybe he just tuned in one time and he heard it. The guy that this applies to more than anyone else is Myers Leonard. I think Myers Leonard is the whipping boy. And this is a great example. If Myers Leonard made $1 million a year, no one would give a rip, but he didn't. Myers Leonard makes 10. And anytime Myers Leonard or Evan Turner gets brought up, the very first thing out of someone's mouth is the money they're making. And Evan Turner, you know, in defense of Evan Turner is a piece to this team. The guy plays defense. He contributes. He has big nights from time to time. He's not earning $18 million, but Evan Turner is not a bad player. Evan Turner is the Nick Batum. And that Evan Turner is a nice player. He's a decent player that makes a lot of money, and people expect more out of $18 million.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. And I think there's a balance between all of this. I get what he's saying, and I get his frustration. But at the same time, as long as you're not being – like, you can't be, like, calling guys names and just – I don't know. Especially you're a home fan, and you're heckling him every game. I think that's a little much.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, like as far as radio personalities or some guy who covers the team and blogs, like, dude, surely you can see where people are coming from, and you don't have to be around the team every day to, I don't know, watch the games and just say, hey, listen, this is what I see. So as long as it's, you know,
fair
and yeah, not like personal, he's got to get over that. Yeah. But I'm sure this is probably just one of those where he was poked and prodded and asked the questions, and he's finally had enough of the stuff. And everyone
knows deep down there's some insecurity there. If it didn't bother you, and if there were part of this that wasn't true, then it wouldn't bother you, right? It's like we get offended, or what gets under our skin is when there's an element of truth to it, right? If someone criticizes you and there's no basis to it whatsoever, that rolls off your back. When someone criticizes you, and deep down, there's an element to it that maybe just in your subconscious somewhere that you're a little sensitive about, that's the stuff that really gets you. And I'm sure Evan Turner, when he signed here, thought himself was going to be a bigger part of what Portland was doing. And, you know, all these guys are competitive, and all these guys want to be big time players. Evan Turner was the player of the year at Ohio State, right? Was he the number two or number three overall pick in the draft?
I don't know.
Yeah, he was. I mean, I know he wasn't number one, but I think he was the second or third pick in the draft. Evan Turner came into this league, I'm sure,
expecting
to light the world on fire.
Number two.
And it hasn't quite worked out. And I think there probably is always an element to that, to his game, that Evan Turner feels that he doesn't get the respect, or that he hasn't quite lived up to his own expectations. And some of this probably strikes a little bit of a sensitive nerve.
Yeah, maybe. But I think what he's saying is, I can do more. This is just what is asked of me on this team. This is my role on this team. Yeah. So F you. This is what they're asking me to do.
And I'm
not going to control how much they're paying me. Yeah. What am I going to do? I'm only putting up 8 and 3, so therefore I'll only take $10 million?
That's the interesting part, is that it's the fan that gets mad about what someone makes. I never understood that venom towards the player, as if you in your job, let's say it's not the player's fault. You're an architect or you're a school teacher or radio host, whatever, someone comes to you and says, hey, we're going to give you $500,000 a year. There's not a person on the earth that'd be like, you know what? I feel like I'm only worth 200. So I'm going to go ahead and turn that money down. No, they gave Evan Turner that money. No one should ever feel embarrassed as an athlete about what you make.
Or anyone.
No. You're worth what someone's willing to pay you.
But I think where people are frustrated is that, man, that's a lot of dough that they could have handed to someone who maybe could offer a lot more.
Yeah. But that's not Evan Turner's fault.
That's exactly
Nor
right.
should Evan Turner ever have to feel like he justifies his salary to anybody.
And his last quote to Jason Quick was, I know this is just the way sports is, and to whom much is given, much is expected, but perception is reality. And it takes a while to change perception. So he's saying, hey, look, I do a lot for this team.
Yeah.
And you should be, you know, there is one element of this. I know we got to go. There's one element of this where it's an NBA veteran who, many of these guys are so hard-headed and so stubborn and all about themselves that they wouldn't settle into a role like this. They would be pissy and moany and say, get me out of here.
I want more.
Give him credit for saying, okay, I want to be more, but on this team, they're not asking me to be more, so I just got to settle in and find my role. And he's done that.
Yeah.
And now it's not worth $18 million. But again, as you said, that is not his fault.
And he, like you said, he's not bitching. He's not complaining. He's not being a locker room issue. By all accounts, he's being a good teammate, doing what's asked of him. So lay off of him. And to that D-bag that's down there screaming at him every day, go find something else to do. Go find something else to do with your time than yell at Evan Turner.
You could yell at Ol' Shea, but he's not down there.
Hey, yell at Paul Allen.
Okay, it is 4:03. Coming up next hour in the news, we have Stockwatch, and we'll get to some NFL on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.